that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
And you are tuned to listener-supported community radio, 90.1 KZFR Chico, streaming worldwide at kzfr.org. It is 6 o'clock, time for Butte Views and Beyond. Ray Lager. I'll be your host this evening. Got a full docket, so we're going to get right down to it. Let's thank our underwriters here. We want to thank Friends of the Arts. You're a state local partner of the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunities by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And we also want to thank Arbon International, providing pure, botanically-based beauty, health, nutrition, and immune-building products for men, women, and children. Arbon also offers the opportunity to become your own boss and work from home. More information about Arbon International by calling Eden Davis at 228-4039 or at edendavis.arbon.com. All right, Ken Clark Trio doing our intro tune, Eternal Funk, here once again. Thanks for tuning in. And let's get right to it. Got my first guest on the line. Jason, are you there?
Yes, I am. How's it going, Ray?
I'm doing good. Hey, Jason Cassidy, Chico News and Review. And I know that word on the street is you guys are going to hit the stands on July 1st.
That's right. We've been out of circulation for a bit. When the pandemic hit and we lost advertisers and as well as, distribution spots when everybody closed. We were forced to close. The paper had to lay off everybody in all three of our offices, Sacramento, Chico, and Reno. And so we sort of reorganized and we turned around within a week and got a new website up, and we've been publishing online and leading up to July 1st, which will be our first print edition of the News Review in 2.5 months.
Yeah, so as that's exciting, and I know that a lot of people, you guys have been around how many years? 30 something years?
Oh, more than 40. We had a 40th anniversary a few years ago. Probably getting close to 45.
Wow. It's quite a habit on Thursday to grab the News and Review. Will it be available all at the usual locations as last time?
Yeah, it will, with the exception of, unfortunately, there's probably going to be some places that are still closed. And there's some places where maybe the machine's been moved due to, coronavirus concerns. And, if you go to your favorite spot and the machine's not out front, then probably go inside and we'll have, a pile inside. And, of course, at the Chico News Review, we have a machine out front, too, that will be stocked daily.
Okay, and is the Chico office, is that going to reopen? What's happening over there on that beautiful building you guys? I believe you guys own that building.
No, we do own that building, yeah. And it's kind of dark there. We go there I go there to pick up notebooks and to have the occasional socially distant meeting. But we're all working remotely now. We're still following the remote work, stay at home, stay in place. Orders just to be safe, and just because our work allows us to. We can do these things, a lot of these things remotely.
Sure. We've been doing...
But yeah, the office is closed, you know, to the public, and not sure exactly where what's going to happen with that. We're still in flux right now, right? But the plan, we just confirmed today, is that we're going to do a print issue a month for 4 months, starting with this July 1st one and going through October. And we'll use that time, and we'll still be publishing online, publishing nearly every day online at chico.newsreview.com. And then we'll try and work up a plan for what's going to happen next and what that'll be. We're not exactly sure yet.
Yeah, so it'll be the first Thursday of the month. Is that the idea?
It's the first week. I don't think first we're learning it's a Thursday. Like, this one's on Wednesday, July 1st, but it'll be in the first week of the month. I think there are dates assigned, but I don't have them memorized yet.
Gotcha. Okay. So coming out, and again, you know, you guys have been longtime collaborators with KZFR, so we'll keep our public informed on that.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, you guys, it's like we are from the same, you know, we have the same spirit animals. We are, it's the same audiences, and as much as we love you guys, and we appreciate the support you've always
given. Well, we feel the same way, and yeah, I agree. You know, we had a meeting today, and we were talking about, you know, hey, if live music is your thing, you're a KZFR supporter, and you're a News and Review reader, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I'm just, for this issue, I'm writing up a little story on, actually, I just finished it on live music, and, or the lack thereof, and interviewed surveyed a bunch of the bookers and the managers in town, and just to try and get people sort of like a snapshot of what the reality is right now and what we can expect.
Yeah. Well, it's all wait and see, but we hope for the best, and as things start to surface and happen a little bit, so you know, hopefully we can get some small, you know, smaller under 100 gatherings coming up here in the next month or so.
Yeah. We'll see if everyone behaves.
I know.
Where's your message out there and does the responsible thing? Then maybe we can keep things from getting out of control.
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. And the truth of the matter is, like anything else, it's really up to us. And if people are going to toe the line, then things will open up and be better sooner. And if people are going to be selfish, then you know how that's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. We're seeing it already.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, how about yourself? Have you been? I know, you know, we've all had some time on our hands, and you're an avid musicologist and reviewer, and that. Have you got a book going or anything? Or?
I wish. I mean, at first couple weeks, I had some free time and did some decompressing and some house projects and stuff. I dug a trench, a new main water line to the alley in my house. That was an adventure.
I bet.
Before I got hot, though. But after that, I mean, I went to full time. Right away. I'm currently the only full-time employee at the Chico office, and I'm helping kind of shepherd things through to the writers and things like that as we move towards the print issue. And so yeah, I've been busy. We're doing the same stuff, but it's a different beast when you're not all in the same room all the time.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Well, hey, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today. And again, Chico News and Review coming back on July 1st.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, we'll keep an eye out on the paper online as well at chico.newsreview.com. And we'll see you in the funny pages.
Yeah, see you in the funny pages. And hey, keep me posted on any changes.
All right, thanks, man.
Okay, take care. Alrighty, let's take a quick musical break, and we'll get to our next guest. Thanks for tuning in today to Butte Views and Beyond. All right. A little bit of Harvey's tune from Mike Bloomfield here on Butte Views and Beyond. And we've got a big event coming. A lot of, you know, as you know, numerous cancellations through COVID-19 and the lockdown. But one event that is managed to happen this year through a lot of creative efforts from a lot of people in the Oroville community is the Oroville Fireworks Display. And this has been going on for a number of years. And after numerous discussions about how to possibly make this happen from a safe in a safe manner and give the community some celebration, the event was moved from the Forbay, where it's been the last couple of years, over to the Oroville Airport, which is, if you're not familiar where the airport is, it's right off of Highway 162, right at Nelson Road, and it's visible from a large area, not just people that live on the west side of Oroville, Thermalito, and that area, but also from Kelly Ridge, from the hills, Neal Road, really any elevation looking south. So that that has been the determination, and again with a really robust fundraising effort, the community was able to raise the funds and make this happen in a very short period of time, in less than 3 weeks. Got approval from the FFA, which, of course, oversees the airport and the city of Oroville and all the powers that be. And it's really spearheaded the fundraising effort from the Rotary Club of Oroville. So they've been doing this for a number of years, and they also partner with Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation to help make this happen. So really excited about that. There's a Lake Oroville Fireworks Facebook page that has all the details. And it's going to be a little different. There is no central gathering place. So in order to keep in compliance with all Butte County and State of California health regulations, there is no central gathering place. However, people are encouraged to view from their, if they're in the neighborhoods, of course, to view from their home or other areas where you can see the airport. So, for instance, if you're on Neal Road, and you pull off on the side of the road and you look south, you'll be able to see it. So elevation is always a good thing when it comes to that. And I think it's a good alternative. I'm going to read you some information about it, just so if you're interested, it'll kind of give you an idea, because it's new, it's different. We hope this is just a 1 year event, and next year we can go back to gathering, which is we're all anxious to do. But there's a website. If you go to visitoroville.com fireworks, which is the Chamber, Oroville Chamber of Commerce visitors website, it has full details there. So that's a great place to start. Visitoroville.com/Oroville fireworks. That link is also on the Lake Oroville Fireworks Facebook page. So I'm going to go ahead and read this to you. This was help created by a number of agencies to try to get the information out in a clear manner. And it says, the Oroville Municipal Airport property will not be available for public use. So the airport itself will be closed. You cannot enter the airport. The clay pits and Rabe Road shooting range will not be open for fireworks viewing. The following state park recreation areas will be open during their normal hours, and that's an hour after sunset. So keep that in mind. That might not might be before the fireworks. The North Forbay, South Forbay are open 8 a.m. to sunset. These areas will not be available for viewing. The After Bay will be open during normal business hours, and an hour and a half before sunrise and 1 hour after sunset. Is it anticipated a large number of people and boats may be on the After Bay on the 4th of July? Please keep social distancing, and after sunset, boat speed is reduced to 5 miles an hour. Riverbend Park and Nelson Avenue Sports Complex will be open for tailgate viewing with social distancing. Larkin Road Boat Ramp will only be available for car top launching, which means kayaks and canoes. No trailer hauled, you know, motorized boats. So just kayaks, canoes, that kind of thing. The Oroville Dam Spillway boat ramp will be open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. And other Lake Oroville State Recreation Area boat ramps are open 24/7. Fireworks may not be visible from Lake Oroville. Butte County Health Department recommends persons maintain social distancing to protect public health and wear face coverings if social distancing is not possible. And to observe safety, we do not have a centralized gathering place, but leave it up to the individual to observe social distancing and follow, ready for this one, all public health recommendations. Please respect all private property and remain safe this Independence Day. The public is encouraged to observe the show from their yards, if possible, or higher locations throughout the city and surrounding area. The goal is to present the display from a safe area and to make the display visible to as many people as possible from their home, surrounding public areas, as well as the foothills and anywhere they have a clear view of the airport. So there you have it. There's going to be fireworks. I understand there'll be fireworks in Biggs. I do not believe there will be any in Chico, but it's okay. More information is at the Lake Oroville Facebook page. You can also go to the visitoroville.com /Oroville-fireworks, which is the Chamber of Commerce information hub at the Oroville Chamber of Commerce. And that's a great resource for information about this. So it's exciting. It's something that didn't get canceled. So, you know, we're happy about that. But we're gonna try it, and hopefully everything works out well, and people can view it safely, and as many people can see as possible. Do not drive to the airport and clog those roads. It's just going to be a problem. You can be 4, 3, 5, 8, 10 miles away. And still get some views. So think about it. Think about the times you've driven in the hills and you look down and you can see the whole valley. Hey, you're going to see the fireworks. So let's move on to another musical break, and we'll summon our next guest here on Butte Views and Beyond. Bet you didn't expect to hear Chicago today, huh? All right, I've got my next guest on the line. I'd like to introduce from the Bethel AME Church, Pastor Loretta Dickerson-Smith. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you all having me on this evening.
Well, thanks for taking time to come on today. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was made aware by a friend of mine in a group, a business group I belong to, about the effort at the church to help replace the historic steeple. And I was wondering if maybe you could like tell us a little about it, maybe a little history about the church and how people can help.
Sure. Our church is one of the oldest Black churches in Chico, California, the oldest Black church in Chico, California, actually. And we had two subsequent moves prior to us landing in our current location, which is at 821 Linden Street in the city of Chico. On the last move from Flume and 6th Street, in order to move it to our current location, they had to remove both the bell and the steeple because they actually moved the church on a huge flatbed. And in order to move it on the city street, the steeple had to be removed because it was too high and it would have gotten tangled in the electrical line.
Oh.
So that's the reason why the steeple and the bell were removed.
Okay. Yes. You know, it's funny because I was wondering if it was like a foundation issue or, you know, because that's a big deal to move a building.
Yeah, well, we were bequeathed the land for 50 cents where we're currently located by Mr. Bitwell. And so this became our new home when we left Flume and 6th. And that's why we actually moved, because we were given the land that the church currently is located on.
Okay. And what year did that move happen?
Ooh, I want to believe it was, let's see, I don't know. The church was built in 1867.
Oh, really?
And okay. Yes. If we hadn't moved, our church would be a historical landmark. It's a now historical place of interest.
Oh, I see.
Because of our moving. If we had stayed where we were located originally, we would have actually been one of the historical sites, which is unfortunate for us. But let me see here. I believe we moved to our current location. I want to say maybe more than 50 years ago.
Yeah, I thought I read it was maybe somewhere maybe in the 40s or something.
Yes, 1957.
Oh, 57, okay.
1957, we moved to Linden Street.
Okay.
And, of course, we the bell was stored at another neighboring church. And, of course, we never pursued, at that time, getting the steeple replaced because of the cost.
Sure.
It was a small congregation. And we were just happy to have gotten the work done by some of the initial builders. And so because there has been this vision that I've had on completely restoring the house and speaking to people that are also like-minded within the community, we were looking at the possibility of renovating and restoring not only the steeple and the bell, but to do some overall upgrades to our building, because a lot of work hasn't been done, for the most part, since 1957. So there's some upgrades and some repairs we need to make on the building. And we had a vandalism probably about 3.5 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And it was an outpouring of the community, because many people have visited this church. Many people who lived in the neighborhood have participated in events and fundraisers that we've had. And so there was a call throughout the community to allow the community to support us in addressing the vandalism that occurred. And we were like, wait, we're going to go through our insurance company. Let's see what they say. And We had several people reach out again through Facebook, and so we did a fundraiser to make the necessary repairs due to the vandalism. And it sort of morphed into this larger project where we began to articulate some of our dreams and visions that we had for this beautiful church on Linden Street. And so we have developed a group that is looking at replacing this steeple and this bell. I am so honored, and I am so happy that people in our community want this project to take place. On June 18th, we had a wonderful showing of the faith community where we stood on the ground side by side and we prayed. We prayed for God's blessing on this corner of Linden between 9th and 8th Street, that people regard this ground as holy ground and a sanctuary, not only for the members, but for all who come within our gates. So it was exciting what happened last Thursday morning at 11 a.m., and I'm looking forward to what God really has for our church in the next upcoming month and surely within the year.
Now, you have a group that's formed to help raise money for the restoration of the steeple. Is there a
yes.
website or a Facebook page, or how would people, if they want to get involved, how would they get a hold of you?
Okay. Right now, the agent that we're using to collect money is North Valley Community. I believe it's the name of it. I just got all of this information. Which is one of the largest nonprofits that help.
North Valley Community Foundation. Yep.
Yes, to help people raise money. And we have some of the brightest and the most talented construction and engineers that have been working together in the last 2 to 3 weeks on how to approach the project. Based on the outpouring again and the outreach that we've made to the community.
Oh yeah, that's fabulous. So the North Valley Community Foundation it's just nvcf.org is the website, and
yes.
Information there on how to get involved. And I know our listeners are quite familiar with them, as they've done so much fabulous work, since especially even before the campfire, just helping organizations and smaller groups get started and finding a way for them to help fund their causes.
Yes, you might want to put on the information line of the check if you're making out a check for Bethel AME Restoration or Bethel AME Rebuilding, so that they'll know where to target those funds.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much, and we wish you the best of luck. And from what I'm hearing, it's going to the community is really forming around this to make this happen.
Yes.
It's really taking off.
Yes. It really is. We had every different denomination represented there. Community was represented there, and it was just a beautiful sight to see the different ethnicities and different faith groups come together for a common cause. And that's really what it's all about. So again, it's a big shout out to the community and a wonderful thank you for allowing me to speak about this project and get the word out to everyone in our community.
Well, thank you for taking your time and joining us tonight on Butte Views and Beyond. And again, NorthValleyCommunityFoundation.org. So it's NVCF if you'd like to get some more information and get involved. And thank you again, Pastor Dickinson Smith, for taking time tonight.
No problem. And thank you again for having me. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Alrighty, we're going to take a little musical break once again, and we'll get our next guest lining up here on Butte Views and Beyond. Kind of a busy docket today. Things are heating up, as we well know. right, that's Oroville's own Feather River Gypsies, Brett Johnson. Hey, buddy, I'm playing some music, man. Right on. Those guys are great. Have had the pleasure of working with them a number of times, and real hidden treasure there. And check out their they do a lot of YouTube, Facebook live couch concerts these days too. All right, I'd like to welcome our next guest, Lisa Michaels, who is the Butte Glen CASA, which is a supervisor, and she's with North Valley Catholic Social Services. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, thanks for taking time to be with us today. You know, I had a was in communication with a couple folks from your organization a few weeks ago about some needs that are happening in the community, kind of as a result of people sheltering and shutdowns and not having the availability that's usually out there to help with foster children. So I'll just give you the stage.
Well, thank you. So we're court-appointed special advocates, and we work with children in the foster care system, giving them a voice in the court. CASA goes through extensive training and then is actually becomes an officer of the court and is sworn in by the court. Then they receive or they are assigned to a child to really get to know that child, what they're doing, what's going on in their life, and report back to the judge so that the judge has really a different perspective than what they're getting from, like, social workers and attorneys. They're really getting more of an overview of the child in all aspects of their life. We also serve in their education roles. And then also we are there to really just be a support to the child in any way that they might need.
And has I understand you have a need in some of the local counties as you know, people have been kind of avoiding each other and staying in lockdown.
That is true. So our the CASA program is in four counties. So we're in Butte, Glen, Tehama, and Shasta. We are getting ready for our next training that is going to start August 1st. It is a 40-hour training. It takes 4 weeks. You do it on both online, and we do classes. We were doing them in person. Now we're doing them virtual, and we're working. We're just trying to figure out in a lot of ways how to do this now, do our program. When we used to meet with kiddos face-to-face, and now we're doing it in all sorts of different ways, through social distancing and meeting the kids, like in a park or in their backyard. Trying to figure out new ways to really get to know the children. So at this point, we are looking for more CASAs. If you consider the fact that a lot of the kids that we're working with are not in school, they're not getting a lot of their other services. So what's happening is they're kind of being isolated as well. And so we're hoping to get more CASAs going and working with kiddos.
Oh,
in our county alone, in Butte County, I shouldn't say our county, but Butte County,
sure.
We have almost 500 kids that are in care, and we only have 51 CASAs at this moment. So we are really looking to get more CASAs and get them going in all of our counties, actually.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. And then the kind of person that gets involved in this, is it kind of across the spectrum? Does it tend to be more, you know, parents that kids have gotten older or people that are looking to give back?
A lot of times we have, most of the CASAs have the ability to give back at this time. So we have a lot of retirees, but we also have people that have flexibility in their schedule. Everybody comes to the table with different experiences and different things that they want that they can offer. We have people from farmers, accountants, a lot of teachers, nurses, parents. We have the whole gamut of people that come to work with us in CASA. What we really look for is people who have common sense, a heart, and want to give back.
All right. Well, those are three great qualities.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, I've been to a number of your events. I was out there at the Palms. I think it was last year, and Trying to think where the other one was.
Casablanca.
Yeah, Casablanca. And then I was at one in Sierra Nevada. I think it was like a Monte Carlo Nights or something a few years back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're all under the Casablanca title.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I look forward to when we could hold those again. It's such a needed organization. And, it's not like the need isn't there. They're, like I said, you need 10 times what you have just to service the children that are already in the process. So,
and these kids are not in the system for any reason other than through abuse and neglect. So it has nothing to do with what they have done. It is really that they were not taken care of.
Right. No, it's the adults that made the wrong moves, and unfortunately, the children are taken away, and they need stability, and that's really what it comes down to.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, if people want to get involved, how would
so
they
if
do
they
it?
They want to get involved. Well, they can call our 800 number, which is 844-254-CASA. So it's 254-2272.
Okay.
Or they can email us at lmichaels, it's M-I-C-H-E-L-S, at nvcss.org.
Or they
can go to our webpage, which is nvcsscasa, C-A-S-A.
All right.
We have many ways of getting a hold of us.
Yeah, that's good. Why don't you give that phone number one more time?
It's 844.
Okay, 844.
254.
254.
2272.
2272. So 844, right? 252.
Yes.
2272.
254. 2272.
All right, very good. Yeah, it's one of those things that the rewards and it's interesting going to some of the events and getting to meet kids that have been in the system, getting to meet adults that have been guided through CASA and also the volunteers. It's such a beautiful thing, and it's important that people have to train and have to be committed to this, because once you develop a relationship with these kids, you don't want to just flake out.
Right, and CASA is never alone. They always have us as backup and support. I say I'm available 24/7, and I mean it, because I never want anybody to feel that they're out there alone. So staff is always willing to be out there and be supportive of all of our advocates.
All right. Well, thank you again for taking time to be with us. And let's give that website one more time.
The website is NVCSS CASA,
CASA.org.
.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Have a nice evening. It looks like the sun's starting to go down, so maybe it'll cool off a little bit. And
I don't know. It's awfully warm out there. Try and stay cool. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you for your work and commitment. And hopefully we'll get some community members to rise up.
Thank you.
All righty. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. We've got a few minutes left. We got one more segment coming in, and I've got some more local music for you. I think it's Josh Haig's birthday. I just saw something on Facebook. Turning 30, my friend. But I thought, why not? Let's play a little Bog here on Butte Views and Beyond, and we'll be back in a few minutes with our fifth, if you can believe it. Well, actually, fourth. I took one spot. And final guest this evening. Thank you. That's our friends Ethan Sweat, Josh Haig, you know, the boys, Bog, with Alice in Wonderland right here on Butte Views and Beyond. And I'd like to welcome our final guest for the evening, Pat Mathias, the Everything Maka. How are you, Pat? I don't even know what to say anymore.
Everything open again, thank goodness.
Yeah, for sure. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. And yeah, you guys got... Well, you're reopening and things are happening. Call for artists. So why don't you let us know what the public can expect?
Okay. Well, we did reopen today, and that is with the exhibition of the wonderful glass show that's up right now, Unbroken Legacies, and it's Northern California glass artists using glass in all kinds of ways that you wouldn't expect. So this is going to be up through July 26th. We extended it because of being closed for 3 months, and it was so important that we wanted people to be able to see it. So that is what is in the galleries right now. And we are open starting today for members this week, and that's kind of a special thing so that they'll have a little extra time if they want, and the museum shop will still be up.
Okay.
We are deciding to kind of put that away for a while. Retail is a little tough right now.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So there won't be any opening or closing for this, but we're taking all the precautions with the, you know, masks and social distancing, sanitizer everywhere, arrows everywhere.
Sure. Masks required to enter?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Definitely. Great. Definitely. So that is the show that's up right now. And then we've got a couple of events that are going to take place pretty soon. We're collecting things right now for what we're calling a yard sale. And it's a yard sale, and it's not all art, but it is how you could take something and possibly repurpose it to be art or to be, you know, an art piece for your house.
Sure.
So that is going to take place August, the Saturday of August. Oh, boy, I don't have my calendar. 22nd, I believe, outside the museum.
Oh, so okay.
It'll be all in front and around the Washington side of the museum. Oh. And we'll have artists and designers there that can help, you know, kind of jog your mind if you need some help with what you might do with something.
Yeah, well, you know, functional art was one of my favorite.
That's right.
Every to me, it's like, it's functional art. Come on.
That's it's kind of recycling and kind of not.
Yeah, well, repurposing and I like the term rediscovering, actually.
That's good. I like that. That is. We're also having a sale of small acrylic hearts, and they're kind of they're three-dimensional. They're about 4 inches, and they open up. So the idea is that you could purchase one of these, decorate it, put something in it, or, you know, do the outside, however you want, to kind of show your thank you or your appreciation for somebody that has helped you get through this so far, or that you think is an important part. And then we're going to display them at the museum, and then people can have them back after that.
Oh, that's a lovely idea.
Yeah, you know, it's there's just so many people to thank. I mean, you know, it's one way. I've had people call up and say, I'd like 4 of them. So you can come by the museum. I don't have them quite yet, so I would say wait till next week.
Now, are they various sizes and colors, or all pretty much the same size?
No, they're all clear acrylic, and they're, about 4 inches.
Oh, no
kidding. They're not huge, but you could string a bunch together, or you could just build out from it.
And can you see what the contents is, then, since it's clear?
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
Well, that's kind of fun, too.
That's
great.
Fun.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about the glass exhibit, since Chico is glass town, you know.
Boy, it is.
And, I mean, you know, the deep roots of Orient and Flume, Satava, Chico State, Manuel Lucero, you know, all these guys that people that really helped seed Daniel Smallhouse, you know, that helped seed the movement, and the world-class glassblowers that have drifted through here to hang out with these dudes and then go on to wild places, you know.
That's right. And most of those people you just named are represented in the show.
Oh, good. I was hoping so, if I dropped a few names, you'd help me along.
Yes, we did. You know, local started kind of with Orient and Flume and Satava and then branched out. So there's Bay Area folks also.
Oh, good. Okay.
But, you know, it's fun, as you say, to see that a lot of it started right here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, you know, years ago we did a glass. Man, it was a celebration of 50 years of Chico Glass, and we did it out of Sierra Nevada, and it was a big deal.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the Glass Festival that lasted a couple of years, and then it kind of morphed into Oktoberfest. But
okay.
Yeah, it became a glass element.
Very different.
Yeah, at Oktoberfest. But and you know, I mean, you know, Jeff Lindsay was helped champion it and through all his connections. But it was a great event. It was a lot of fun, and. It was a real, you know, it's one of my favorite art forms, and one that I've never done, and I've bugged Brian Sutherland so many times. It's like, dude, one of these days I'm going to come by your studio, and he's like, come on, come by today. I'm like, well, I can't come today. You know how that is. But anyway, one of these days I'll drift over to his studio, the G spot, the glass spot. And
are they still going? I haven't heard much about them lately.
You know, he was last year, so I'm not sure, okay. But I believe they are. They've got a nice little space back there off of, I believe it's Myers, you know, back in that little wonderland back there.
Right. We took our lunch with an artist, high school students there.
Oh, really?
Yes, and they did a day of blowing, and it was really fun.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, honestly, and I know he does, you know, he's doing lessons and a lot of different things, so.
That's another part of Manka, you know, that's going to be sad this year, is that if the schools aren't in session, literally in session, our docent program is going to have to go virtual.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, honestly, I can't tell you how many Zoom meetings between my wife and I are on every day.
I know.
The good news is at least you can put the Zoom app on your phone. And I found, like, oh, now at least I'm mobile.
I just don't show them where I am, and then I can walk around.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, it's interesting, and it's obvious, you know, it's something we're all learning and all trying to develop through. I mean, we're all going to have crazy skills when this is over at some point. So,
but you know, art is so important to see it firsthand, to see textures and to see reflections. That's what's so sad when you know, we can do virtual tours,
right?
Online,
it's not
but
the same.
You can't stop. You can't see it from different places. It's just. We're missing something that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no doubt. It's like a live performance. You know, I don't care how fabulous it is on a YouTube video. It's not like being there. And it's just, you know, it's just a place we are right now. And if everybody behaves, we'll get through it quicker.
That's right. Well, I hope that people will come and, you know, see this exhibition, because it's really, really worthwhile.
Yeah, it sounds great. And again, it's going to be up till the end of July.
Yes, the 26th, and we're open Thursday through Sunday, 11 to 5.
11 to 5. I'm sorry, is that kind of regular business hours? Or?
That is regular, yeah.
Okay, yep. So you're kind of back to your normal schedule. And
we are. I debated whether to change it, and I thought, let people just kind of go the old way and see what happens.
Well, and you know what I do here at KZFR and all the underwriting stuff, and I've worked with, you know, a lot of businesses in the community, or I'm in communication with them, and, you know, it was hard for some people to make decisions on, should I open, should I close, what level should I go, you know, and I understand, you know, I mean, it's a fearful thing. There's things we don't know. We know a lot more now than we did 3 months ago, but...
That's right.
You know, so it's one of those things, but I think it's great that you're able to kind of go back to regular hours and just be like, look, now if people don't have a mask, do you have something there? Do you provide something? Or?
Yes, I'm going to actually go down to the chamber tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow is the chamber mask giveaway.
a lot of the mask giveaways again, and I just want to have some there for people because I don't want to have to turn them away.
Yeah, and, you know, thank you for bringing that up. We have it up on our community calendar. And I did want to mention it today that if your local business is the Chamber of Commerce, and not just in Chico, Oroville, Paradise, Gridley, throughout Butte County are giving away masks. I believe it's 2 to 4. You just pull up. It's a drive-up pickup, and they will give you masks at no cost for you to hand out to customers that want to come into your business. So, and yep. I think that's great. Yeah, very thoughtful, and you know, we've got to get to the other side of this, and we can't be kicking it around like it's a hockey puck, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay, and now tell me about the yard sale.
Yeah.
Yard sale.
Well, I had so many people bring things in today. You know, the only thing we're not taking is clothes and electronics.
Oh, well, that's good, yeah.
So people can bring anything they want. I mean, our thought was that for 3 months, people have been going through everything.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want this anymore. I don't want this anymore. This is a great way to kind of donate to the museum. We'll give you a tax write-off form. And, you know, maybe purchase a couple other things that, you know, you might want to fill in those holes with.
Like those acrylic hearts.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think it's a great idea because it is. Everybody's been home. I mean, I can't tell you how much stuff. It's like, okay, this artwork has been sitting in a closet for 15 years, all stacked up. I don't think it's going,
right.
You know, I think it's time.
I know.
And you know what? You'll walk into somebody's house someday and you'll be like, hey, there's my picture.
That's right. And it looks good there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have people check, you know, our Facebook, our Instagram, and our website because we kind of posted things all over.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You got a little preview going on?
Yeah. Well, at least we've got information about all of it on there.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you again, Pat. It's been a while. Thanks for taking time to be with us tonight on Butte Views and Beyond. And, of course, Monca, regular business hours. Check out the Chico Glass or NorCal Glass exhibit, and then also Facebook. What do you like to send them? Facebook, website?
Facebook and Instagram are getting kind of used a lot now.
Okay.
So that's good.
Museum of Northern California Art.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
All righty. We got peanut butter and jelly time coming up next, and let's thank our underwriters, and we'll slide on out of here. We want to thank the Famous Blue Peace House, a two-bedroom home in downtown Chico. The Famous Blue Peace House sleeps up to 6 and is equipped with a redwood deck, gas grill, washer, dryer, piano, and kitchen stocked with basic supplies available for short-term rentals. Find the Famous Blue Peace House on Facebook at 588-3549. And we also want to thank Members First Credit Union, created by the community for the community. Members First is a member-owned, not-for-profit financial institution providing checking, saving, loans, and credit cards to residents of Butte, Glen, Shasta, and Tehama counties. For more information, visit m1cu.org. Get it? Members First Credit Union, m1cu.org. All righty, thanks everybody for tuning in, and let's go out with a little bit of Ken Clark and our theme music. Eternal Funk. Groovy Grandma is getting ready. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. One more day and then normal temperatures come back. Wear that mask and be nice.
peanut butter jelly time.
Way up.
Baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly.